Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies.
What? Yeah, all the leaves on the trees are aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with you. And you know I love to share with my guys. And, of course, we know the Fed did nothing and the Hillary story. But we'll get into that stuff tomorrow. But today I'm going to share with you. I was with Chip Flurry yesterday at Market Rally Radio. And I got to talk about risk and things about markets with him. And I'm going to go ahead and play that interview for you, and we'll throw some bits and pieces in between here. But let's go to Market Rally Radio with Chip Flurry right now. Here we go.
Horowitz is with BubbaTrading.com in Chicago. He joins us now. Bubba, this bean market has kind of been trading like you anticipated it would. We sat back under 10 bucks, finding a little bit of a bid in here right now.
Hello, Chip. Yeah, I think there is a little bit of a bid here, and of course, you know, it went a little lower, as I said. I'm not always right, and we did dip below 10 significantly, but I think now we're going to start to build a base and build a bottom here, and look, I like them. I want to see the action in Novi Beans when we get back to 10. I want to see what happens there. I would expect it to fail the first time through, but, you know, I'm looking at it from a much bigger picture. And the much bigger picture is if we have all the financial data that's around that actually involves all these products, it's all been bad. Once again, we've gone into that cycle again where everything that ever comes out from the Federal Reserve to the government, it's never good news for farmers and producers. And we've taken the brunt, yet I think we're going to be in very good shape, and I think we're going to have a nice season. I think it's going to be better prices ahead.
Yeah, you know, nothing's taken that brunt of bad news more than the wheat market has, and in all honesty, you didn't trade that poorly today.
You know, it's funny, and I call this bottoming action. I like the action. I mean, I bought wheat. I mean, I give full disclosure. I bought wheat and bought corn, and I think that, you know, we're somewhere near a bottom. I mean, yeah, we could go lower, but I'm prepared. And I think from a trading standpoint, the risk is trying to be short here. And I believe that the big commercials, the banks, are long wheat and long corn. So I think wheat held up very well. You know, we had some push up.
All right. Hey, we're going to continue the conversation. Don't worry, you guys. I know we got a Fed announcement today, and I haven't asked Bubba about it yet. We'll do that next. Talking with Todd Horowitz. Hey, everybody. I'm your host, Chip Flurry, in for the Hump Day! Oh, I'm glad I was here today. Get caught up with everything that's going on in the markets. Corn was slightly higher, soybean solid gains. Soybean meal was higher, bean oil was lower, wheat was mixed, live cattle feeder cattle slightly higher, and lean hogs were sharply lower in today's trade. We've already started the conversation with today's guest. It is Todd Horowitz. Goes by Bubba out there. He's with BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, I'm glad that you're here for the whole show today. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I love to be here. This is great. I'm excited. I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you made it back. Lost.
Yeah. Well, I'll be heading your way starting tonight, and I'll finish up the trip tomorrow. I gotta get in there and see if we can get this Windy City Classic thing turned around, man.
Hey, you know, let's get it done. Come on,
that's
baby.
Right. All right,
go,
dude.
Cubs, go.
Let's what?
Go Cubs, go, baby. They take a little rest. That's all. Sorry.
That's right. Hey, man. Fed came out. No change in their interest rate policy. It seems like they want to. They feel a little bit better about the second half of the year than what they did a month ago or 6 weeks ago. They're still kind of hinting that we might see an interest rate increase at the September meeting. But, you know, Bubba, to me, it seems like we've been down this road before. They talk about the potential for an interest rate hike, and then they kind of chicken out at the end.
They got no stones. This is the biggest joke ever in I think in history of the Fed, first of all, they're way off the topic of where they're supposed to be, which is only monetary policy and not financial engineering the markets, which is torturing every human being, but especially farmers and producers, because they're what they're doing is destroying the dollar. And when you destroy the dollar, okay, you're taking money out of everybody's pockets. And they have absolutely no clue. They're never going to raise rates. I'll tell you what. I'll say 2018 before there's even a thought of raising rates. They're so afraid. 2018, yes. I'm saying it on air. It is July 27, 2016. I'm saying 2018. I don't think they wanted to raise in December last year. That was a mistake on their part. But they raised so they could lower. There's a better chance we see more quantitative easing than we see a rate increase. How's it? It's the
wow, and what is that? And all you're talking about there is you keep feeding the equity markets, right?
100%. All they're doing is they're feeding the equity markets. They're torturing the banks because look, banks are banks, and most of them make a lot of money, and it's all good. Except now they're not lending out enough money. But where the real problem comes in is with the little banks, the community banks who serve our guys, the farmers and producers. They got trouble lending because they've got to go through so many hoops and rules and regulations to put that money out that it makes it much more challenging. You know, it's not like it used to be. Hey, Chip, I need $50,000 for next week. Okay, Chip writes me a check and I'm on my way. Now it's, you know, everything's got to be done with magic. And you've got between all the Dodd-Frank and all the other regulations that bankers have to follow, the community banks are being wiped out and having a lot of trouble surviving in these markets. And that's creating a bigger problem for everybody because it doesn't allow us to move forward. And when they... Go ahead, sorry.
If we don't get an interest rate increase until 2018, what do you think the future of the community banks is?
Most likely swallowed up by a J.P. Morgan or a Bank of America. I think they're intentionally. Now, there's a little bit of conspiracy theory. I'll share it with you a little bit, but I think they're destroying the. You know, I think they're just trying to destroy the smaller banks. You know, this whole problem in this country today is that we don't have the true free markets. You've got people controlling the markets. Now, you know, we'll trade back and forth, but then the markets go too far down. What happens? The Federal Reserve steps in and says, okay, well, we're gonna backstop it. I never saw them do it in the grain market where they're going to backstop those. Where's the deal? Where's the fair and equitable trade here? There's not. All of the central banks around the world, they're all ignorant and they're all incompetent. And when you look at the big picture, Chip, we just saw a trade in baseball. You mentioned the Cubs. They found true price discovery. It took four guys to get Aroldis Chapman. I thought it was a bad trade myself, but they traded those four guys. We don't have that ability in these markets anymore because the Fed is too busy trying to read in a manual. Now, let me ask you, you're a farmer. When something goes wrong, when you're out there in the fields, do you have to go run to a manual to read what to do, or do you try to fix it right when it's going on? Chip, maybe he goes talk to Hillary Clinton to find out. No, in all seriousness, again, big important thing is we don't have time to be looking at manuals. We can't run our business on theory, but the Federal Reserve, they like to run everything on theory because they think the theory is correct. They don't realize that it's flawed and that the economists that are running it have no idea of what's going on. Okay, so let's not kid ourselves that the people that are in charge have any clue. We can start right from the top down, and we can find out how little they actually know about anything, let alone what to do with money and how to take care of us better. And that is, in my mind, the bigger problem, okay, is that we have a bunch of people that have no idea. They're clueless, and they don't know where they've been, they don't know where they're going, and they have no idea how to get us out of this, which is why Janet Yellen continues with the same ridiculous speech every single time she comes out. Well, we're going to give you more free money. We don't see improvement. Well, we do see them. I don't know what they see, but I know one thing for sure. When you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the Bubba Show every day, as well as the Sporting Edge. And you can be one of my regulars. And we're just now passing about 230,000, 240,000. I want to get more. Want your help? Make sure you help me out there. This is The Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll step out of here for a break. And we will be right back after the break with The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horwitz, and of course, I asked Chip a question. This is the Bubba Show with Market Rally Radio. And Chip Fleury, our guy, and I asked him a question before he went to break about what do you do when something goes wrong on the farm? Do you have to go check the manual? And of course, Chip was going to give me his answer. Let's go hear Chip's answer right now.
Anymore, we got to fight to keep the right to work on our own tractors out here because of the rules and regs.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So you've brought in to a situation here now that is ruining the currency. It's ruining everybody. It's ruining the entrepreneur, the independent, and add into that big banks get away with everything. And realize this: the community banks, they pay a bigger percentage in real dollars to for the insurance and for everything else than the big banks pay. So they're trying to force these guys out of business. Their profit margins are brutal. You know, banks make their money by lending, and they make money on the spread between what the lending rate is and what they lend it out at. There's a big spread. Right now, the spread's not big enough because the money that they can give to the full faith and credit of the government is the difference.
Okay. Now, you've mentioned a couple of times when you're talking about the dollar, you're saying destroying the dollar, ruining the currency. You know, from my perspective, a higher dollar is not good news. But what you're talking about is they're pumping support into the U.S. currency, right?
Well, here's what happens, Chip. When the world is at trouble and the economy stink, which they do, they go to two places, the Treasury bonds or the U.S. dollar. When the Fed prints more money, they're diluting the value of your dollar. So, for example, corn closed today at 340. Was that the number, I think?
Close enough.
340 corn today is the equivalent of about $6 corn of years ago. Okay? I mean, they're taking – every time they infuse capital, they lower the value of that currency that you own. Okay? So the dollar in your pocket today is worth – let's say it's worth 20 cents compared to what it used to be. So they're really destroying – our buying power and our ability to move. And now, because of the world economic problems, because of the currency wars, they have then destroyed our export market, which makes it even tougher. So you take all these things into consideration and you end up with a big mess, which can only end extremely ugly. And that's what we're looking for as they continue to kick the can down the road with the Keynesian theory of economics, which is, don't rip the bandaid off. Let's not have a problem now. Let's hope it goes away. Let's hide our head in the sand like a bunch of ostriches and say, hey, this problem will eventually resolve itself. Now, you and I both know that people are not resolving it. There's a lot of trouble out there. And 4 out of 7 Americans believe that we're still in a recession. And I happen to be one of them.
Okay. All right, we're talking with Todd Horwitz from BubbaTrading.com. You guys know him and know him well. If you want to talk with him, give us a call right now. It's 855-4-TALK-AG, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag MRRChip. Bubba also posts a blog on ProFarmer.com, and today's blog title is he posted every Wednesday. He says, staring at price movement can be hazardous. Explain what you mean by that, Bubba.
Well, you know, when you're a trader like I am, obviously price movement and trying to take profits or losses quickly, you work on price. But when you're out there, let's look at it this way. Farmers and producers, you got to be bullish to be in that business to begin with automatically. But you're not going to be selling on every tick and every trade of the market. What happens is, we create our own panics and our own things that ruin and cause big swings in the market. And I watch people trying to watch the markets too closely. And what happens is the price moves a little bit and we get excited and then it goes down and we get afraid. And you're doing too much gyration when the true markets will show you where they're going to go. And until you're ready to sell, there should be no reason to look at price because you're not selling today anyways. And if you're hedging your model and if you hedged your marketing plan, then the price is immaterial, the price movement, because you've got at least a base price locked in. But when you stare every day, you create too much emotional baggage for yourself, and it causes you to make a lot of bad decisions as you're moving along through the season. And that's where I see people end up in trouble. I had somebody the other day tell me that they dumped all their corn, you know, as the markets were going down because they were afraid. And of course, I go, why did you do that? Why didn't you look to sell them when we're running up, not when they're panicking. Because when the markets are panicking, we know that eventually we'll find a bottom, and there's no reason to chase it down. And what happens when you stare at price, it makes you too emotional. You get too involved in the overprice of the market, and then you end up making a decision that's going to be detrimental to your business.
Yeah, when we talk about it a lot on the show, but it is so tough for the guys to remove emotion from their risk management, Bubba.
It's impossible, and that's why I say you need to get the hardest thing to do as an owner or a trader is to get away from it. And of course, technology has made it so much worse, Ruby, because now we're in our tractors with our iPhones and watching everything.
He's cutting out on us a little bit there with the music running over the top. We'll get back to this part of the conversation, talk a little bit more about managing emotion. 554 Talk Ag, 855-482-5524. You can also tweet at us with the hashtag MRRChip. We're talking with Todd Horowitz, Bubba from BubbaTrading.com. Bubba, I want to talk a little bit more about emotion before we get to a question that somebody called in. At the end of the last segment, we were talking about managing the emotion, and I think it can get a little frustrating for guys out there in the countryside when people like me or people like you say you got to get rid of the emotion in the market because in your risk management, because it is, number one, it's so hard to do. Number two, it is who they are in a lot of cases. I mean, these guys are risk takers, and it's managing that risk and making the risk management just part of your daily routine and part of your business is what we're really asking them to do, right?
100% agree, and I struggle with it. I've been doing this for 36 years, Chip, and I struggle with it sometimes still today. And what I'm telling you and telling everybody is that that's the hardest thing to get under control. But if you first recognize that price is king and the markets are going to tell you where they're going to go, they always give you, the markets always leave a footprint. And if you look back at your life and forget about trading for a moment, but any emotional decision that you've made, whether it's fighting with your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, anybody, your best friend, usually under the heat of emotion, you say something you wish you could take back. And the same things happen when you're trading. You do something that you wish you hadn't done, and that's when we call in the business somebody's puking out or they're overbuying. And that's, you have to take that into consideration. Look, you're in the business. You took the risk. Now manage the risk mathematically to the best of your ability and take out the human emotion side of it, because the human emotion side will cause more failures than anything else.
Okay, now does human emotion cause more failures when in a downtrending market or an uptrending market, do you think?
I think it's equal. I think, believe it or not, I think it's equal, because here's what happens. Let's just look back 3 weeks ago, July 4th weekend. Everybody thought the weather was going to be bad. We're buying them up. We're buying them up. We couldn't buy enough. And, of course, what happened? Well, we had a little rain over July 4th weekend, and next thing you know, soybeans went from 1180 to 960. You can't chase the market up. You can't chase the market down. You get damaged, and you cost yourself money trying to chase it on either side of the market, which is why the proper strategy, the proper marketing plan can help you take that emotion away from your overall trading, because you're really not traders. You got your farmers or producers that are creating a business that's to make money. You know the Bubba saying, life comes down to two things. One of them is money. And even when the hedge strategy doesn't work perfect, it does work perfectly at protecting you from the downside exposure. Okay. And that, at the end of the day, is where your marketing plan comes to. Okay. You know, again, what I always try to tell everybody is that, you know, in any one given day or any given one given trade, it doesn't work. It always protects the downside. But as far as making the upside, you'll always make money on the upside as well. But depending on how much, and that's the question, at how we go up and things like that. But at the end of the day, okay, your number one concern is to be protected to the downside, which is what we always make sure that we do for you with our services and here at the Bubba Show. And in the meantime, when you miss an episode, you go to libertytalk.fm and you can download the Bubba Show as well as the Sporting Edge and check out some of our other content at bubbatrading.com. We do a lot of writing. We're looking to take care of. We're obviously looking to help everybody. We want success and happiness. So we are there to help you. Check it out, BubbaTrading.com. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We will be back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz.
Fly me to the moon.
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialdini, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. It is Todd Bubba Horowitz, and of course, I've been on Market Rally Radio today and having a good time with our friend Chip Fleury there, and making sure that I can help make your lives a little easier as well, as we always like to talk about it. And when we left and went to break, we were talking about the money, because at the end of the day, it is about the money. So let's go back to Chip and Market Rally Radio and hear some more. Here we go, Chip Fleury. Your end game here is to make money, and the only way you make money is by setting yourself up and putting yourself in the best mathematical position, taking the decision making of when to get out or when to chase it out of the way and out of the business, because you cannot perform well when you're in the heat of emotion. It just doesn't work well as a rule. And you'll find out that if you look back at all those decisions you made when you got too excited when they were going up or too depressed when they were going down, typically you pulled the trigger at the wrong time and put yourself in danger. And that's what you have to watch, which the market will help you. If you look at the chart at the end of a day, instead of watching the tick-by-tick movement as the day goes on, you'll be a lot happier. And I have an agreement with a couple of my guys out there. I bet them dinner that they couldn't stay away from looking at their iPhones during the day. Okay, and so far, they're giving me the scoop. They haven't looked yet, so we'll see. I was out in Iowa and Kansas last week, so I made a couple of wagers. I'm hoping I lose dinner to them.
Good stuff. Good stuff. And the title of your blog today, like I said, staring at price movement can be hazardous. But I like what you just said about let's check it at the end of the day, because if you don't check it, I mean – if you don't check it, I mean, that's kind of reckless not to keep up with what's going on in the markets.
Well, but if you've built, you know, let's say you've built the proper marketing plan and you probably have the proper hedging strategy, then you already know what your basis is. And after the market closes, there's really not a hell of a lot you can do anyways. Now, again, I'm not saying never look. What bothers me is you look at it every minute. You know, every time a report, every time you look, you just keep looking, and you're winding yourself up. You know, if you ever watch Seinfeld, when he bought the stock, if you remember, he would look at another paper, maybe it had a different price. I mean, you know, it is what it is. And why wind yourself up? You're not selling it today anyways, right? You're not, you know, all of a sudden it's not going to magically come out of the ground that you're going to sell it. You might hedge some of it off, or you might sell some of the futures market, or you might commit some. But at the end of the day, you're building a business. And it has to be run like a business, not with the emotion of being in a casino. And that's why I think some folks get confused, and that's the problem.
Okay. So, you know, we have lots of conversations, Bubba, and one of the things that you like to say is farmers need to make it more of a business. They need the proper hedging strategy. They need to take the emotion out. They need to protect the downside while keeping the upside open. What does that strategy look like?
It looks different for everybody, but basically what we like to do is I like to create what we call a synthetic future, okay, which is just using an options tool and sometimes using partially the futures. But what I want, when I'm involved and I'm hedged, I want to make sure that I never give up the opportunity for the upside move in the market. Because as you know, you've been doing this a long time, markets, they don't send me or you a telegram saying it's time to go up, that we're going up from here. Mm-hmm. But you have to make sure that you have the downside protected. So when you put together, you know, at the beginning of the year and you put your marketing plan together and you figure out what your input costs are and what it costs to run the farm and all these things, and take that number and then add a little bit to it, because we all know there's emergencies that come up and things that we can't account for. And then you have to hedge that number. And once you can get hedged to that number, okay, whether it be $3.50 in corn, $4, whatever the number is, once you can get hedged to that number, you're safe. And you can now take big benefits from market movement. And now you can strategize yourself around these positions. But the first thing you have to do is make sure that you always leave the opportunity for the big market to come to the upside. And a lot of places, people don't do that. They end up using one option to create another one, but they give up the upside potential. Now, I know I've been doing this a long time. There's no reason to ever give up upside when you don't have to, because markets do not announce themselves. Nobody said that cattle was going to feeders were going to 240 before they were going to fall down. And this is where you have to be open to allow markets to work for you instead of against you, where you take away to make a decision. Well, I want to get 150. Well, maybe you can lock in 150, but maybe you can get 160. Maybe you can get 180. You know, it doesn't matter. So leave the opportunity for the upside there while protecting your downside. That'll make the banks happy. That'll make you happy. You'll sleep a lot better at night, and you won't worry about when we get these wild price movements when they happen to pull a limit down move, because obviously farmers and producers are always happy with limit up moves, but limit down moves are a little bit more testy.
Yeah, they can be a little bit harder to take, no question about it. We did have somebody call in a question about interest rates, okay? And this is kind of a dangerous question here. He asked, what happens if interest rates go to 6%? Does the U.S. go bankrupt on that?
No. Okay, the U.S. has got a lot of problems, but we still are the cleanest of the bunch. The U.S., we actually own, one of the wise things that they do is they own a lot of the bonds themselves, okay? So they can hold those bonds to maturity on that side of the front. So no, we don't go bankrupt if we go up, because everybody thinks they just borrowed all this money, but what they really did is they bought a lot of the bonds, and in fact, the Fed owns a lot of bonds, like 10 years, that they're probably getting 2.5% to 3% yield that they hold them to maturity. So part of it, they're going to hold the maturity. So that has no effect if interest rates go up to 6%. It will have an effect on everybody else, because there are so many people that are in the equity markets that don't want to be in the equity markets. And if you gave them 1.5%, they would be out. So that would cause a financial panic on that side of the coin. But I do. The government would not go broke, because, listen, bottom line, they'll go print some more money. They'll call up Janet and say, hey, I need a few bucks. Go in the basement and print me up a couple of bucks. And that's what they'll do. They'll control the system. But higher interest rates will not break the U.S.
Okay. Question from me. Are we in a risk-on environment right now?
In what market? In the equity?
Or, generally, risk on, it covers all the markets if it's risk on.
Well, I don't know. I personally believe that I'm risk off in the stock market. I think the stock market is significantly overvalued. And as I said, they've got too many people in there that have borrowed too much money. There's too much margin in play here. And according to sources, 80% of the money that's going into the market now, the new money, is considered dumb money. So I'm definitely risk off there. I am risk on in oil, commodities, and anything like that that's been devastated, I'm risk on there. But that's the kind of guy that I am. I believe that the markets are much better when you can buy them at a discount. And I think right now we're all the commodity space is pretty much at a discount right now. So I'm a buyer of commodities. I think risk on is there. I think in the stock market, you want to be risk off. I think if you're buying now and you have not been participating the entire time, you're looking for a big beatdown.
Yeah, Bubba, are you that guy that waits for the canoe to flip over and then just pulls opportunities out of the pond?
I try to, yeah. I mean, it doesn't always work, but that's, yeah, I'm looking for that. I mean, again, I'm a break time.
Yeah, we got to go, Bubba. Man, I appreciate you coming on the show. You have a good rest of the week, and we'll talk to you 1 week from today, man.
Thanks, Chip. Have a great day. Thanks, everybody.
All right, man. That is Todd Horwitz. That's Bubba from BubbaTrading.com. I'll pull some highlights next.
And of course, we had a good time and had a lot of fun and, you know, a lot of laughs, which obviously we like to do here at the Bubba Show anyways. And, you know, it wasn't a laughable day yesterday with the Fed and them doing nothing once again. I find that kind of distressing. And of course, you know, everybody should be concerned. And I think that, you know, there's many, many issues out there. We've got many, many problems, and they're not going to get solved by doing nothing. They're not going to be solved by the continuation of kicking the can down the road. And certainly they're not going to get solved by Crooked Hillary, as my friend Donald likes to call her. Crooked Hillary, or Lion Hillary, whatever. I was Lion Ted. But at the end of the day, okay, look, again, this is a business. And in farming, okay, or any business, it's about the money. Okay, nobody is in business, I don't think, well, maybe a few of you might be, but nobody, I think, is in business just for the hell of being in business. You're in business to feed your family and take care of business. So the best way to take care of business is to make sure that you can protect your risk, okay? And God knows, farmers and producers take more risk than anybody to get started, okay? And you have no assurance that everything's going to work the way it should. So that is why that protection of that downside risk is you need to be taking care of yourself, okay? So that's where I come in and I say, hey, give me a call, check me out, okay? Because I'm here to help. I'm here to teach. I'm here to set it up. I do the work. I keep you in the loop, okay? And again, I'm going to have another webinar soon. But again, I'm all for the learning. I'm an educator. I like it when people understand it. I like to teach it because it makes me feel good that I know that my friends can sleep at night. Okay. And that's what it comes down to. The ability to go to sleep at night, knowing that no matter what happens tomorrow, you have a price that you know that you can get out. And that's really what it comes down to. Okay, so we had a lot of fun with Chip Fleury on Market Rally Radio. And also, you know, I know I tell you all the time, but I'm going to keep telling you, download the Bubba Show at libertytalk.fm. Okay, because first of all, it's a great show. Second of all, you get the Sporting Edger. Third of all, we've got 24-hour content anyways. And fourth of all, because you love me. Anyways, and check out BubbaTrading.com. Again, we're going to start our new hedging for equities. Again, pretty soon here, I'm getting a lot of calls for it, so we're about ready to re-kick that off after taking some time off. But for now, I'm going to step off for a break and come right back to you. And we're going to come back with my interview with RFD Radio yesterday. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horsey, and we will be right back.
The song was written by Fred Ebb and John Kander, orchestrated by...
Welcome back to The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horsey. We kick it into the home stretch. Regular things I always do an interview usually with Marlon Bowling, but today it's with Mark Oppelt from RFD Radio XM 147. Let's go hear what I had to tell them about the old grain space yesterday morning. Mark Oppelt and me, here we go.
Bubba Trading, Todd Horwitz, our first guest here on Commodity Wrap, and happy Wednesday to you, Todd.
What do you say, Mark? Good morning.
2 weeks in a row, I get to visit with you and then head out to our Ag PhD field day. I want to start here. We'll talk about the grain trade, but I know you have some very pointed thoughts about the Federal Reserve and kind of what they do or don't do for the commodities and the general economy and what they've done to the dollar and other things. So just kind of give our listeners a view of your thoughts on the Federal Reserve and what they've been doing and what they're not doing.
Do you have your beep button there? Just kidding. But
yeah,
I'm not a fan. I am not at all a fan of the Federal Reserve. I think they've totally lost their way. I think if you go back to Ben Bernanke when he started the currency wars, because we were the first ones to actually start the artificial devaluation of currency to create more export. But really, what are you doing? You're giving away less. You're giving a discount. So because you're really, if you're devaluing currency, you're taking money out of the average person's pocket. So why not just give a discount? They've just totally lost their way. The bottom line is that the system needs to have higher rates. No matter what the world is doing, no matter what the rest of the economy is doing, the only way that we can improve our way of life is to have higher lending rates so that we can actually, banks are actually willing to lend money. They don't have as much restriction, and we get the velocity of money flowing again so that people are willing to buy, which creates jobs and the whole circle there. Everything becomes better if rates go higher. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, people may think, wow, I don't want rates to go higher, but when you explain it that way, that it eases the banks and them probably more willing to lend money, and producers certainly in these times are finding it a bit more difficult. You talk about lending policies from banks.
Well, that's it is, you know, it's funny. I met last week, I was out in Iowa and Kansas, and I met with some banks there. And it's really sad because, you know, the old community bank, as we remember it, was a great help to farmers. And they still are. But it was a great help because, you know, you needed money to get the crops in the ground. You needed stuff to operate. Obviously, you know, farmers and producers spend an enormous amount of money just to get started before they make dime one. And they're not guaranteed to make the money. So the banks are having trouble lending because of all the regulations and because of the small spread between the borrowing and the lending rate, which is not a good situation for anybody because we need money to flow between everybody. And that has not been the case for the last 7 or 8 years.
All right, looking at the grain trade here, Todd Horwitz, Bubba Trading. It's BubbaTrading.com to learn more about his services for you. We appreciate his time today. 2 cents higher in the corn overnight, December, as I look right now, near 341, 342. Thoughts in the corn trade heading into the last couple of weeks of July here?
I'm a big fan. I mean, you know, again, we're in the typical time of the year where we're going to usually vacillate back and forth and kind of trade, but we've been under so much pressure, Mark, and you know, we just had the big run up right before July 4th, and everybody was banking on the weather, and of course that didn't pan out. But overall, the markets have had so much bad news thrown at them, including the dollar now reaching, you know, four-month highs or so again, and the overall economy. I'm a big fan, and I'm a buyer down here. As you know, I texted you yesterday. I was buying some corn and wheat. But I think that I think the lows are basically in, and I think we can only go higher, and I think you'll see an improvement. And I do think if we can get a nice move here, I think we'll see a nice steady trend higher, and we'll work our way back up much higher than we are right now.
How does that fit into that comment in soybeans or looking at wheat for our producers there?
Well, actually, wheat. I'm a huge fan of wheat. I think wheat. I have bet because I did buy some, but I do think wheat is on its low. My caveat here is soybeans. I think soybeans are going to go higher, but they may need to do a little bit of work here. You know, the Novi beans. My key target was 10, which we violated and broke down to 960. I think it'll have a little bit of resistance at 10, but I think once we get started, I think we're going to see higher prices. In other words, the entire grain space, I think we'll see higher prices, you know, a couple of months from now than we're looking at right now, and I think it's going to work out fairly well. I think we're going to see an improvement for all the farmers and producers around the country.
Talking to Todd Horwitz, Bubba Trading. It's BubbaTrading.com. Back on this Wednesday, July 27th, Mark Oppold, Zach Troutman, and our guest Todd Horwitz, Bubba Trading, back with us here, BubbaTrading.com. And we talked about those grain markets here before the break. Coming back here, Todd, giving a few minutes here. And the livestock complex, cattle and hogs for now going opposite directions from where they were when cattle were going lower and the hogs higher. Now we got the reverse.
Well, you know, and remember, we were at one time we were eating bacon and selling beef, but now I think we found I think a fairly good low in both live and feeder cattle. I think that you've now seen pretty good bottoming action. It doesn't mean that we can't have a dip back below, but I think longer term here now we're going to be on the upswing, and I think we'll start to see some movement to the plus side for everybody. And you know, I think we've seen enough of the panic. And in fact, the last time down, there wasn't quite as much panic as the one that was about 6 weeks ago. So I think we're in pretty good shape there. I'm definitely a buyer in this space. I think that you got to watch October FATS around 112. You know, that's a little bit of resistance, so I mean, be careful there. But any dip, I think, is very buyable, and would look to be an owner here. And then, of course, hogs. I'm pretty concerned, especially in August. Of course, August is coming off the board pretty quick here, but you know, we haven't been able to hold up at any number, and now it looks like 72 to 71.50 is in play. You know, as far as if we go out, you know, to December or so or October, those are probably pretty near bottoms. We've had a pretty wide divergence against those as the market started to move, and they've started to hold and started to bottom. So I think, you know, out in October, in December, we should hold somewhere where we are now, but I think August probably has some more work to do on the downside.
Yeah, August 12th, I was looking at the calendar here. You're right. August, the August hog futures off the board on the 12th of August here. I want to talk about the, you had mentioned one thing here just to kind of recover as far as cattle are concerned, and you've mentioned this before on our Market Day report, Todd, but for listeners who are, you know, not familiar with your comments, you don't like to see these limit up and limit down moves here for the health of the market. A steady climb higher is and a certainly a firm bottom here, putting in a floor, is what you'd rather see.
Absolutely, Mark. You know, when you watch the markets and when they get too crazy and get too wild, that has not that all that is speculators and emotional trading going on back and forth when you see those types of moves. And those types of moves are typically, we would call them a fade. So if we got a limit down move, it'd probably be a buying opportunity. A limit up move would be a selling opportunity. But you don't build a good solid trend of buyers if you're looking for the market to go higher. And I'd like to see a nice steady move. And I think most moves end with what we call the blow-off pattern, which would be either to the upside or the downside. So certainly I'd like to see a nice steady trend and see them start to work higher until they would finally blow off to the upside. But then, of course, we would have made some good money and we'd be in good shape.
So, again, looking at that hog complex, you touched on that, but I want to maybe get to a few more specific comments. A lot of caution, yellow caution flags in lean hogs still?
No, I think so. I think 75, you watched yesterday. You know, we've been just kind of dribbling down, and it hasn't been in a state of panic. It's actually been type of trending lower, which is worse because we keep continuing to trend lower. So until I see a panic bottom put in, I'm probably not going to be a player. I'll look at it if I'm going to base it against August at 72. You know, so I'll start at 73 and start looking for 71.50 as the end. But until I see some panic coming in and some real selling coming in, as long as we continue to trend lower, there's no reason to fight the overall trend, either up or down, and this happens to be down right now.
And finally, China have been a big player, a big factor for the run-up in hogs earlier. What's the outlook there into the fourth quarter?
Well, I mean, you know, the world economies are in trouble. I'm sure China can come back into play. But, you know, I'm not a big fan of these news items and these stories. I mean, you know, I've been trading since 1980, and China's been doing something. Whenever we need some movement, China's always coming in to do something. So I'm not a big fan. I think it can happen, but I would, and that's exactly where we have to end it today, unfortunately. But China is always talking about something or always in the middle of something. But in the meantime, great show. We had Market Rally Radio and RFD. In the meantime, you missed an episode, libertytalk.fm. That'll do it for today. This is the Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Same time, same station. Have a great day, everybody. Thank you so much. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. When it's
cold, Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.